Well, hello everybody, and welcome to our continuing Rays and Initiations webinar commentaries. We're on number 37, and this is actually the 10th of January 2017. I hope that you can hear me well enough. And we are continuing with our work on the Antikarana. And this is, of course, one of the major contributions that Master D.K. has made to understanding, at least in Western terms, the meditative life and the ability to go beyond what we call the soul of love into the truer ego, which is the spiritual triad, and from thence to the monad, and from thence, well, who knows where, you know, all kinds of higher connections eventually. There are planetary antikaranas, solar antikaranas, I'm sure galactic antikaranas, constellational antikaranas, galactic and beyond, all leading to the one and only point from which this particular universe emerged. So this is about the construction of the Antikarana. And he says, in this connection, in connection with this, there is no need for elaboration, as it must be obvious that only the man who is the product of a very long and fruitful past experience is equipped to undertake the task of bridge building. Well, you know, that's millions of years of experience, really. Whoop, that's not correct. Let's see if I can get this correct. Right, okay. Namely, millions of years of experience, because a person has to be at least an initiate of the first degree, and I would say approaching the second degree. So, millions of years of experience and approaching the second degree, whether in one or two or three lives, because he did give the process of building the Antikarana to his students, and it was quite clear that his disciples, many of them, were not immediately ready to take the second degree, not even in the next life. So still they were given the process, and so they could work on it profitably. The process of bridge building, the process involves much scientific experience in the art of living. This is a kind of a fourth ray art in a way, and it's something eventually which human beings, being so connected with the number four, both monadically and in terms of their soul, should be able to master. So the art of living involves a midway position between that which is material and that which is spiritual, and the proper relating of the two. And only the highly trained human inquirer, remember, inquire the way, that's the very first of the four injunctions we're given in a treatise in White Magic. Ask yourself, your inner soul, your inner self, the questions, and come up with the answers reasonably, intuitively. Only the higher, highly trained human inquirer can soundly, interestingly, it's an interesting word because words of power are involved here, so it seems to suggest more than just a firm basis, can soundly and safely build the bridge between the highest and lowest. So this is a very advanced process, and we are at least learning about it, even though we may not in this incarnation master it. Okay. I'm working on getting my abbreviations back so that I don't have to type out so many long words. Each of the major human races has been responsible for the expression and the employment of the threads which together form the Antikarana. These are threads of light, threads of power, threads of energy. Notice he doesn't include the Adamic and Hyperborean races, which are not yet individualized. One, in ancient Lemuria, the life thread, the Sutratma, sometimes called the thread soul, the Sutratma per se was the dominant factor in the life expression. So the life was a one which was focused on vitality. The physical body, the animal form nature, and the dense outer factor was the focus of life, exuberant, productive, and vital. It gives us some idea of the energy quality of those who lived in the Lemurian race, and maybe some of us did if we were not moonchain beings. Others who were moonchain beings did not live through the Lemurian root race, but incarnated in the one of the early sub-races of the Atlantean root race. So there was a tremendous quality of physical vitality, and something that maybe we miss today and has to be restored. DK told us that it would be our objective to regain the kind of vitality that is found even today in some of the South Sea Islanders who seem to have retained that connection with vitality. In old Atlantis, Atlantis being at least, 12 to 10 million years old, as we count time now, in old Atlantis, the consciousness thread began to function in a way unrealized in Lemuria, and it's consciousness thread is connected with the astral body. And I think what I'd like to do, since the word consciousness is so often used, I'd like to make an abbreviation here with that. O-N-S-C-I. Consciousness. Yeah, consciousness. Sensitivity. This is an astral factor. Awareness and, as a result, desire and reaction were the keynotes. It was a very astral race, we are told, and the great achievements that were accomplished were the results of the thinking power of the directors of the race, and not the Atlantean people per se, who simply followed the directions they were given. We do know that there is a sympathetic relationship between the soul, which is the factor of consciousness, and the astral body, just as there is between the personality and the physical body, and the monad and the mental body. But the monad also has emotional and vital connections as well. Active sensitivity as a prelude to full consciousness distinguished the human being. So first sensitivity is needed, and then consciousness. It's so great to be able to write C-O-N-S and get the whole word consciousness. But I have many hundred more abbreviations in the computer that died, and I'll see whether it can be resurrected to a sufficient degree to get those abbreviations without having to think them up again. Of course, such a parenthetical comment as this doesn't have to be put into the transcription. The astral vehicle was the controlling factor. The mind was relatively quiescent, I suppose, until the until the moonshine types began coming in, probably in the third subrace of the fourth root race, as it correlates with the number three and with the third chain, the moon chain. The mind was relatively quiescent, especially in those that were, I suppose, individualized in Lemuria, and there were some individualized in Atlantis as well. You wonder whether they would have even come to the point of developed sensitivity in early Atlantis. The mind was relatively quiescent, except where the foremost members of the human race were concerned. Now, these foremost members, maybe some of them, were individualized in Lemuria because there were those like the Christ who moved very quickly, and even now are members of the hierarchy, having been individualized in Lemuria, fairly rare occurrence, really. The humanity of that world cycle were, notice the word world cycle, it doesn't here mean a, it doesn't mean a round, you see. So even a root race, and this is important to note, even a root race, and this is one of those words that deserves, root race, okay. Even a root race can be considered as a world cycle. Oop. Okay. Even a root race can be considered as a world cycle. The term world cycle is generic and sometimes can mean an entire round or maybe even a scheme round, a much longer period of time, or it can apparently mean the duration of a particular expression of the overall human race, such as the third root race, fourth root race, etc. The humanity of that world cycle were, however, all of them extremely psychic and mediumistic. This is carried over in some right now. He tells us that the United States, or America, was the center of the old Atlantean continent, and hence the tendency, present tendency towards psychism in that country. And we see a lot of that being revived with the so-called New Age movement. All of the psychism of the past is being resurrected as if it's something entirely new, when it's really quite ancient. So they were extremely psychic and mediumistic, and as we know, psychism and mediumship can get in the way of spiritual apprehension. This is not sufficiently realized. They were sensitives to used the modern use of the term. Well, we have sensitives today under Cancer and Pisces, under Neptune, but what we need is sensitives additionally under Virgo, which will make the intelligent sensitive. Under Virgo, the intelligent sensitive is found, not just under Cancer and Pisces. When you add all of those together, and every one of them is in some way ruled by the planet Neptune, the planet of psychism, then you can have the modern Aryan sensitive or psychic. And we need such people who can interpret what they see in a mental way and convey it to the members of this quite intelligent mental root race, the Aryan. The state of awareness was astral, and human beings were, as a race, by and large, clairaudient and clairvoyant, though in no way able to interpret that which they contacted. And that's so important. Now we have Mercury and the interpretive factor. Let's see if I can, I'll just stop this for a moment. Here we have a diagram which was put together for the sake of AUM, Ancient Universal Mysteries, by Keith Bailey. It's a very useful compendium in which the different cities associated with the different subplanes are demonstrated. And we see that clairaudience and clairvoyance are, and even psychometry of a kind, are astral powers. The lower two planes of the astral plane are not considered and should not be, and should not have, the matter of those planes should not be part of the astral body of the modern individual. So these are things being left behind, and maybe up here on the mental plane, higher clairaudience, planetary psychometry, higher clairvoyance, and so forth, can be recovered. But the real focus is on subplane four, with discrimination between the soul and personality, and then the powers associated with the higher mind, spiritual discernment, response to group vibration, and spiritual telepathy. And emotionally, we're supposed to be involved with imagination and emotional idealism. So we can regather these earlier capabilities, but they are by no means meant to be cultivated per se until some higher directing cities are somewhat mastered. Our real work lies on the mental plane, the higher mental plane, and even venturing via the Antikarana into some of the powers of the Buddhic and Atmic plane, though not all. Because you notice that on the first two subplanes of the Buddhic plane, we have unnamed cities, and the same for the Atmic plane, because they refer to powers even beyond those possessed by the master. Anyway, so they couldn't interpret these things, and even today, one wonders whether the sensitives have sufficient understanding in mind to rightly interpret what they do see, but that is the objective. And we are told that Master Hilarion, actually, who was a scientific master, is busy training psychics to have a more mental and understanding approach to the phenomena which they experienced. So this was an earlier time, the astral period, and there are many Atlantean consciousnesses still today. And we are in the Aryan race, but that does not mean that all human beings who are incarnated are of the Aryan consciousness. So many, as a matter of fact, maybe the majority, are still strongly emotionally polarized, or at least kama manasically polarized. Anyway, as DK says, they were not able to distinguish astral phenomena from ordinary physical life. That is quite an amazing statement. Just imagine that the astral plane was so present that the objects revealed by your senses could be confused with the revelations of the astral plane. So particularly in the middle period of their racial history, they were not able to distinguish. Maybe later they could, when the period of initiation began, probably especially with the fifth subrace of the fourth root race. And the interpreting mind revealed nothing to them. Well, maybe Mercury was not so strong then in its higher expression. They simply lived and felt, And I think this is true still of many today who have not yet emerged in their egoic lotus from the hall of ignorance. They simply lived and felt. Such was their life history. Two of the threads, the life and consciousness, I suppose, were functioning. One was not functioning at all. Maybe the intelligent, mental, creative thread. And the bridge was not built. Even the first, we might say, even the first phases of the bridge, which connects to the soul. And also the mind was not connected, even the lower mind, for most. Now we come to our modern fifth Aryan race, describing a kind of consciousness, not necessarily a kind of form. Excuse me. Though form does accompany changes in consciousness, and there are those that we might call physically the remnants of the Lemurian type, the Atlantean types physically, and the Aryan types physically. But the consciousness is the far more important factor, and the outer form simply begins to reflect that at a certain point. In our modern Aryan race, modern as far as racial histories are concerned, I mean, it's a million years old or older, the third thread, the creative thread, comes into active expression and use. Okay. The third thread. I would remind you that all these threads exist from the beginning of human existence, and that all these three streams of energy have been indissolubly present from the beginning of human consciousness. It's just a question of emergence and development. A question of emergence and development. But for the greater part of human history, up to the present, men remained unaware of them. They were simply energy threads sustaining our activities, and we did not understand the sources of those activities. Men remained unaware of them and quite unconsciously made use of and continued to make use of their presence. Now, being disciples of the more psychological and mental type, we have to become aware of the sources of these abilities, which we have been using unconsciously all these many, many years. The process of recognizing creative ability and of opportunity falls into two phases or stages. Creative ability, the creative thread. Okay, the thread very much connected with mentality, as the consciousness thread is connected with sensitivity and astrality, but also soul awareness, and the life thread is connected with vitality, but also with the source of it all, the monad. So, two phases or stages. The stage wherein the mind principle is developed and unfolded, and man becomes a mental creature. This is the Aryan type of development. This produces the full activity of the mental unit, as we know, found on the fourth subplane of the mental plane. The full activity of the mental unit, the integration of the three aspects of the personality, and the consequent awareness of the sun of mind or soul. As the integration work proceeds, the higher of the pairs of opposites begins to be revealed, and man is not so ensnared only in the three aspects of the personality. And then comes, so first, this is first stage here, is the development. I think I'm very tempted, right? So let's make DEV, and this will be development. Okay. Thanks for indulging me on that. The development of the mind, of the concrete mind, especially. Then comes the stage of creative activity, wherein the creative thread is brought into full use. Now we've had, you know, we see great creative expressions that have come from ancient history. And I suppose the Atlantean period, guided by the directors of the race, exemplified great creative works, even though these impulses toward creativity did not come from the people per se. The stage of creative activity where the creative thread is brought into full use, the personality use of the thread, as distinguished from the racial use, is characteristic of the Aryan race. So we have the possibility of individual creativity arising from the human unit, the individual, the personality. It is only during the past 5,000 years, the Tibetan says, that it has gradually become the outstanding quality of mankind. Well, there were great creations before then, but perhaps they were more of a racial nature, as he seems to imply, and not so much arising from the individual who felt the urge on his own to bring in something new, to create, to bring in new combinations, as Master Moria would say. In the other two races, and in the early stages of the Aryan race, although great creative monuments appeared everywhere upon the planet, indeed they did, and they are the marvel of the investigators today. One wonders how in the world they could have even been made. They were not the product of the minds of the men of the time, but were the imposition of the creative will of the planetary hierarchy upon those who were sensitive to the higher impression. So, you know, they do seem to be hierarchical masterpieces. One looks at the pyramids. One looks at even the astronomical possibilities in the great stone circles. And one realizes that higher minds than our own, a higher understanding than the human understanding, must have been responsible for these. So some human beings could be impressed, and they were impressed by hierarchy and have left the great creative monuments. But maybe, let's say, 5,000 years ago, the urge of the individual to create on his own and not be entirely dependent upon imposition from the hierarchy began to arise. The responsive sensitivity to creative impression was the outstanding quality of the later Atlantean consciousness and the early Aryan period. So those who could respond to hierarchical impression grew in number. And it is today giving place to individual creativity, and consequently to the conscious creation of the bridging Antikarana, as we reach towards that impression from our own higher nature, which is the outcome of the fused and blended threefold thread, life, consciousness, and the creative thread. So now, in this more mental age, it is the impulse of the individual to create from his own experience and to create from his own contact with his own higher nature. And this is different from the type of hierarchical impression which characterized the later Atlantean consciousness and the early Aryan period. We are responsible, more responsible now for our own creations. This brief summation of the past process is intended simply to give a synthetic background to all the work now to be done. We have to understand the context in which we are working and some developmental facts related to the history of man, which has led to the point where the Antichoronic can now be built in a broad and general way. So the intention is to give a synthetic background to all the work now to be done and to convey to you an almost visual concept of the method whereby man has reached the stage of conscious life, of full self-awareness and creative expression. All this sounds very Leonian, doesn't it? A great sign of creativity. Whoop. Sounds very Leonian. It is a sign of personality integration. It's a sign of access to the golden lotus, to the body of the soul and all of its treasures. It's a sign of individuality where a human being steps forth in his or her own right and takes responsibility for his or her creations. So, and indeed, we are reaching the point when Leo is very powerful in the human race, and the integration of many personalities is occurring, and people will be increasingly self-responsible as personalities. And hopefully, through the fifth petal processes, more and more in touch with their higher Leonian self, which is the soul on the higher mental plane. Okay, so he's given us some background here. All of these stages, and apparently we have reached now the stage of conscious life. There's so much emphasis in psychology on understanding ourselves, following the Delphic Oracle's injunction to know thyself, of being aware of the different aspects of our nature through depth psychology and maybe height psychology, and how we can bring our higher impulses down into manifestation through a process of creativity. Okay. All of these were the expression of divine energy as it poured into his mechanism via the silver thread of divine potency. And, you know, that's interesting. When you read that, it may not be the best term, but it does equate this phrase equates with the Sutrakma. Okay. This might be regarded as a threefold demonstration of the vertical life, which becomes the horizontal life through the expression of creativity. Man creates on his own level. He summons what is found through vertical access and acquisition. And then in his own world and his own sphere, he creates according to those impulses. So I think he's saying here that through the process of creativity, man becomes the cross. Man then indeed becomes the cross. When, however, he succeeds in constructing the rainbow bridge, a later development, which can only be done when man is upon the fixed cross, and this means, you know, can only be done when man has taken the first initiation, then finally the cross gives place to the line. The line, and via that line, a great path or way can be followed out of the lower spheres and towards greater destinations beyond the planet, beyond the solar system, etc. Then finally, the cross gives place to the line. Now, we still, people like ourselves, still have a lot of creativity to pass through, creativity according to the divine plan, which will help bring the condition of humanity and the planet into line with the intention of the deity of our planet. Excuse me. So this becoming the line takes place after the fourth initiation, that of the crucifixion. And interestingly enough, of course, the cross in Western understanding figures so prominently in the crucifixion. In the East, it's called the Great Renunciation, and maybe the cross does not figure so graphically, so prominently. But beyond this particular cross and the overturning of this cross, man can be outward bound along great paths, a greater way, and that is the line. There remains then only the vertical line, reaching from heaven to hell. It's a very interesting way of putting it. And I think what we can think of there, here is the from the monad to the dense physical vehicle. Vehicle, sorry. Another opportunity, MD is a monad. Okay, I know this is taking a little bit of time, but it will help me in the long run. And a dense physical vehicle is this. So we become a lion, but not until the fourth initiation is taken, and that is the climactic cross experience. We are on earlier crosses. For a long time, we're on the cross of mutability as an ordinary, non-aspiring human being. Then, towards the end of that, we begin to aspire and take the earlier initiations, and we enter the fixed cross. But the fourth initiation is taken, we are told, neither on the fixed cross nor on the cardinal cross. It's an interim period. And after that, entering the cardinal cross and becoming a lion seem to be equivalent. I think I'll put that down. Entering the cardinal cross and becoming a lion seem to be equivalent. The goal of the initiate between the fourth and seventh initiations, amazing, is to resolve the line into a circle, into the circle, and thus fulfill the law and the rounding out of the evolutionary process. Well, the seventh initiation is a solar initiation, and the circle is the sun. So sometimes when you, I can't draw it here, but when you look at kind of a circle with a line in the middle of it, it is the number 10, conceived in a certain way, and it seems to suggest the way the line can become the circle through the disappearance of the line itself or its absorption into the circumference of the circle. We've just been studying that a little bit, a little earlier, with those diagrams that I couldn't get into the text I'm using, but which are found in the book. There are such profound things here, and it requires very close attention, not rushing the process at all, so that we can really begin to understand the amazing vision the Tibetan has been attempting to convey to us, and And still he says it's only the ABCs. Another summation of the entire process may be found in the lines from Stanzas for Disciples, which I gave out some time ago, June 1930, and which will be found elsewhere in this volume. So we will study some of these. They are marvelous from the old commentary. Looks here like we have such a stanza immediately before us. In the cross is hidden light. I suppose when the cross, arms of the cross shorten and are absorbed by the center of the forearms of the cross, that center is a great source of light. The vertical and horizontal in mutual friction, fire by friction, and the mutable cross, I suppose, creates a vibrant cross. The vertical and horizontal in mutual friction creates a vibrant cross, scintillates, and motion originates. So that is the cross of motion or mutability is not the fixed cross, it's the mutable or common cross related to the third ray and to motion. When the vertical assumes the horizontal, pralaya supervenes. So we can imagine this upward striving, organizing vertical impulse subsiding for a time and approximating the horizontal, and then no more development in such a circle occurs. Cyclically, it will revive. Evolution is the movement of the horizontal to upright positiveness. It suggests that the creative human being is standing upright and not lying down. The lying down is associated with the passivity of the astral plane. The upright stance is associated with will and mind and creativity. In the secret of direction, associated with the third degree, as he tells us, lies the hidden wisdoms. In the doctrine of absorption lies the healing faculty. In the point becoming the line and the line becoming the cross is evolution. Looks like we should have some punctuation there, but don't appear to. In the secret of direction lies the hidden wisdoms. It's almost, can't quite stand it here. In the doctrine of absorption lies the healing faculty. In the point, okay, the healing faculty. That's connected more with the second ray and the absorption of all that may be inharmonious into a more archetypal relationship. It is the second ray method to take inharmonious situations, take them in, breathe them in, and restore them to their archetypally intended pattern. In the point becoming the line and the line becoming the cross is evolution. And in the cross swinging to the horizontal lies salvation and pralayic peace. So the vertical subsides, and as much has been accomplished in that period of vertical striving and organization, subsides into a period of rest. And hopefully by the time the period of rest comes, archetypally that's Pisces, we have the salvation of the sign Pisces, that all has been resolved into its archetypally intended pattern. And then there is a release into peace, and then a new cycle will start again. Well, these are very deep things. We could I suppose, spend an hour just discussing this stanza for disciples from the old commentary. So much is hidden here, and I've just scratched the surface, really. But just think about that, how certain of the second-rate types can heal through absorption, to take in the inharmonious and to restore it to harmony, often at much expense to the healer at first, until there's tremendous experience which allows one to do this faultlessly. And from the point arises all that takes place within the circle, the line and the cross, and eventually the vertical subsides, approximates the horizontal, and, well, whatever condition we're in at that time, pralayic peace supervenes. It might be said that few, very few people of today are at the Lemurian stage of consciousness. We're in the life thread with its physical limitations is the dominant factor. And I think, you know, in the secret doctrine, we're given some of the archaic races. Not all, but some of the, Blavatsky tells us, the aboriginals of Australia, some of the Bushmen of Africa, some of the Vedas of Ceylon or Sri Lanka now, I think they call them in Japan the hairy Ainus. So certain of these earlier groups who may not possess the solar angel in the same way that the more advanced types possess it, are those perhaps closer to the Lemurian consciousness, though advanced souls can be found in any of these groups there for service purposes. Many, very many people are at the Atlantean stage of development of auric sensitivity. This seems to be a sensitivity to impression, and not just astral impression, but etheric impression and maybe somewhat mental impression, but largely astral. However, a very few in comparison with the untold masses of human beings, we can understand the sign Cancer being so prominent in humanity still, as it begins to move towards Leo and individuality, let's call it, not individualization, that has occurred. Excuse me. A very few in comparison with the untold masses of human beings are utilizing the results of the triple construction of energy within their own aura of awareness, that's Leo, and their area of influence in order to build, construct, and utilize the bridge which links the various aspects of the mental plane. And you know, what are we talking about with the various aspects of the mental plane? Let's just see if we can get some kind of picture here. Okay, this is something. This is the mental plane. The lower mental plane, the higher mental plane, and the highest level of the mental plane, wherein we find the monastic permanent atom, the center of the egoic lotus here, and the mental unit. All of these have to be linked up. And this is not the task merely of the person who is beginning to be mentally sensitive. It's someone with a lot of meditative and integrative experience. So a lot of people are at the stage of sensitivity to impression but they have not undertaken the creative task of bridge building. These have not yet undertaken the creative task of bridge building. A very few in comparison with the untold masses of human beings. Well, what are we talking about there? Maybe 85% are utilizing the results of the triple construction of energy. Utilizing, you see, that's the creative word. They're utilizing the results of the triple construction of energy, vitality, astrality, and mind, within their own aura of awareness and their area of influence, in order to build, construct, and utilize the bridge which links the various aspects of the mental plane. So, first, contact with the soul, then contact with the triad. Okay. These three aspects must employ simultaneously. So that is an act of integration. I mean, you can deal with one or the other, but to use three parallel factors simultaneously requires quite a bit of experience and familiarity with each. And then later, see, this is the act of tension, visualization, and projection. So that is a simultaneous act. And then later supersede them in such a manner that personality and ego disappear, and only the monad and its form upon the physical plane remain. You can go to Cosmic Fire somewhere around page 166 to 169 to have more elaboration on this body of fire which the monad can then use with the man who has transcended the fourth initiation. So by ego, it's not meant lower ego here, it's meant the higher ego on the higher mental plane, personality, the lower 18 subplanes, and monad triad remain as the director of these lower factors and even as the generator of more advanced replicas of these lower factors of personality and ego. In this connection, my earlier statement on the nature of form may be useful and lead to increased insight and understanding. So let's see what is said here. The physical plane is a complete reflection of the mental. Okay, and that fits with the idea that the physical body reflects the personality. The personality center is on the fourth subplane of the mental plane. The lowest three subplanes reflect the abstract subplanes, and by those, I suppose we mean the first, second, and third subplane of the mental plane. And the four etheric subplanes reflect the four mental concrete planes. So physical plane of the mental altogether, kind of interesting because there's a division we see. I'll get to this. Okay. Yeah, here's a division. This pesky thing here is kind of in the way, but you can see that we have a division on the mental plane of 3 and 4, and its reflection is 4 and 3 down here on the physical plane. Then we're told that the lower mental is reflected. Let's see, how does it go here? The four etheric subplanes reflect the four mental concrete planes. All right, that's clear enough. And the lowest three subplanes reflect the abstract subplanes. It's kind of an inversion. Here are three abstract subplanes of the mental plane, and it is an inversion of reflection found in the three lowest subplanes. So four and four from the lower mental to the etheric, and three and three from the higher mental to the densest subplanes. Sometimes you have reflection, sometimes you have superimposition. And they are different because there's a kind of turning that occurs in reflection. But in superimposition, the factors in the construction of that which is superimposed maintain their positions in the lower part of the superimposition. Okay. The manifestation of the ego on the mental plane or causal body is not the result of energy emanating from the permanent atoms. Indeed, we've seen that the energy is emanating from the buddhic plane and from the solar angel, even though the matter is that of the higher mental plane. As a nucleus of force, but is the result of different forces, and primarily of group force, since the ego or soul is group conscious. So we're told how the ego is built from the monastic permanent atom and also from an inflow of buddhic force. And as well, there are atmic factors and monadic factors involved, but not from the lower atomic triangle, or permanent atoms, we usually call them, the dense, the physical permanent atom, astral permanent atom, and mental unit, not from those three. It is predominantly marked by an act of an exterior force and is lost in the mysteries of planetary karma, which is why DK tells us that it's very difficult for us to solve the mystery of the solar angel and really beyond our ability. So if he tells us it's lost in the mysteries of planetary karma, we're not going to be too successful in penetrating. We can see, however, some of the numerical correspondences, the inversions and the superimpositions. Anyway, our ego comes from higher sources. And when I say ego, I don't mean the way the term is used in modern psychology as personal identity, but the higher self, or at least the first phase of the higher self, the soul. Let's see, what does it say here? The ego is the result of different forces, and so is man's lowest manifestation. Maybe, you know, from forces from an earlier chain and even from an earlier solar system. We are indeed an interesting composite of different types of forces emanating from different time periods and different sources. It is the result of reflex action and is based on the force of the group of etheric centers through which man as an aggregate of lives is functioning. So the lowest manifestations are gathered by the power of the lower chakras. The lower dense physical manifestations are gathered by the power of the lower chakras. We know those are the active sources, and that lower matter is simply passive, but can be gathered into form by the structuring power of the chakras, in this case, the lower chakras. The activity of these centers sets up an answering vibration in the three lowest subplanes of the physical plane, and the interaction between the two causes an adherence or an aggregation around the etheric particles, the etheric body of particles of what we erroneously term dense substance. It's still an energy, it's a substance energy. So the structuring power that creates the dense forms depends or emanates from the geometrizing ability of the chakras, which are principled, whereas the dense physical substance is not. Okay, this type of energized substance, the dense physical, is swept up in the vortex of force currents issuing from the centers and cannot escape. That's really the clearest description of how the form, what we normally call dense physical form, is formed. These units of force, you know, it's not dense substance, therefore, pile up according to the energy direction around and within the etheric sheath till it is hidden and concealed, yet interpenetrating. And this tells us of the interpenetration of the ether into what we normally call dense physical substance. An inexorable law, the law of matter itself, brings this about. And only those can escape the effect of the vitality of their own centers who are definitely lords of yoga. Well, by that, you know, one can pretty well think of the master of the wisdom, and can, through the conscious will of their own being, escape the compelling force of the law of attraction working in the lowest cosmic physical subplane. And this will mean the overcoming of the need to reincarnate on the dense physical levels. There's all kinds of reincarnation, even on higher levels, but we're talking about the familiar kind. Now, I think we have reached, this is from A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 789, that wonderful book for initiates, but we can still try to understand it. So I'm going to call it on this particular program. And let's see. So this is the end of Rays and Initiation Webinar Commentary number 37. And I think this has taken us to page 481. Sorry for these lapses. Actually, we're covering more ground than I thought. 477 to 481. That's how far we've gone here. And I'll put that down. Yeah. Pages 477 to 481. And then we'll have the beginning of Rays and Initiation Webinar Commentary number 38 from 481 to however far we get. Okay, friends, then that's it for the moment. And, well, you know, I don't pretend that this interpretation that I'm giving is anywhere near what a high initiate or master could give. But I try to stimulate the associative faculty so that we can see relations which may have been invisible to us before. We can see the connections between things. It's kind of a Mercurian act that I'm attempting here. And there will be some light that is brought, and there will be some mistakes and so forth. But we all need to think more deeply about what the Tibetan has said. And by pondering carefully, line by line, almost word by word, light, more light, can begin to appear. Okay, we'll move on in just a little while. Bye-bye.